Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk giant of North Alabama, and the biggest show in the afternoons across North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio. You can also find any day of the week, you can find previous segments of the show in podcast form at our website, www.rightsideradio.org. Just go there and you'll find the little links and to the podcast version. Anytime an interview or a Right Side Way or a Copper's Corner or anything else that we do on the show is there, and people are downloading them like crazy right now. We are probably going to hit, from what I just saw in the numbers, maybe 11,000 tonight. So that's going to be very cool. Let me tell you also too about my friends at Just Love Coffee. I held this one for right now because it's 4:35 in the afternoon, and some of y'all are thinking right now, I'm going home. Like Charlene just texted me and said, can you bring something home to eat? And I said, well, yeah. So, here's the deal. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And they have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu. Aside from all the amazing award-winning blends of coffee they've got, and the gourmet coffees like the macchiatos and the cappuccinos and the lattes and all that, they've got those too. Then they have a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu that'll knock your socks off. And I'm sitting here looking at it right now. Grilled Italian Caprese. So it's a sandwich. Picture this. Mozzarella cheese, basil, pepper jack cheese, sliced tomato on a sourdough waffled bread sandwich with a side of balsamic vinaigrette, chips, and a pickle spear. Dang. So I'm just looking at this menu and the salads and the sandwiches and the things they've got and then the desserts and the waffles and oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Hey, I got a caller on line two. Let me go grab Jeff from Huntsville. Hey, Jeff, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. How you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil, enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask what your opinion is. Do you think now that the Democrats have suffered some pretty big losses yesterday that they're going to get afraid and pull the filibuster and try to push through their voting bill and their infrastructure bill?
Well, it's a worthy question, Jeff. Right now they still have the uphill climb of getting there because they don't hold an overwhelming majority. They have just enough, you know, and right now Joe Manchin, who has been holding the line along with Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate against the spending bills, has been saying that he does not support destroying the filibuster. So I am hopeful that they're going to see. I mean, right now, do you really want to? If you're a Democrat and you're also in a purple state or in a contested election potentially, do you really want to yoke yourself to what has just proven itself to be a failed agenda? To answer your question, Jeff, I'm not sure they could get that done in the short amount of time, politically speaking, that they've got between now and the intense campaign season that will come up for 2022, because they're going to be hitting the roads hard in about 4 or 5 months campaigning. That's my thought anyway.
Excellent. Thanks for your take. I hope you're correct.
Well, I hope I'm correct too. All right. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being in the audience. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. You want to talk about anything we've covered today or just opine in general, we'll take it. Right Side Radio, we got some Right Side ruffians out there that have strong opinions, good ones too. Hey, listen, just so you know, interesting thing is, so President Biden spent the last week in Scotland at the UN Climate Summit. It was big doings. They were up there talking about how to save the world from climate change. You know, the thing that's most important on everybody's mind. Not. So here's the deal. The Washington Post, here it is. Yeah, Washington Post. I'm looking at a survey, showed what the top issues were. None of them involved climate change. None of them involved climate change. The top issues were that they will have right here. Taxes were number one for Republicans. Taxes, number two was the economy. Number three was education. Oh, I take it back. Number two was abortion. Number three was the economy. Number four was education. For Democrats, it was overwhelmingly the pandemic. Oh, the pandemic, the pandemic, the pandemic. After that, it was, you know, sort of like 44% said the economy, 44% said education. You know, it's just, it's nowhere in there was climate change. And yet President Biden, and I realize it was scheduled. He was a president. He went. But that's interesting to see that nothing in the pollster's review indicated that climate change was on anybody's mind, Republican or Democrat. Here's some other polls that came out too, just so you knows. So 64%, they did exit polling. 64% of Virginia voters, notice I didn't say Republican voters, 64% of Virginia voters say the country is headed in the wrong direction. That is an amazing poll. 64% said the country is headed in the wrong direction. So what else do I have here? 64% voiced concern about the direction. 73% of those who were concerned voted for the Republican candidate. What that means is there were quite a few Democrats also. So of the 64% who voiced concern about the direction of the country, at least, where am I then? Do your math, Phil. Do your math. 27% of those were Democrats or voting for Terry McAuliffe. That's a big deal. The most important issue to Virginia voters was the economy and jobs. The coronavirus was second most important in general. Education was third. These are exit polls. Washington Post survey has it a little bit different, but there you go. I talked about, by the way, some things around the nation. Just so you know, breaking story is, it's not really breaking, the continuing story is that New Jersey is still too close to call. They have not called it yet, and I don't know that they're going to call it today, because I would imagine what they're going to have to do is a full-on recount. And you know, recounts, sometimes you find some missing votes. Well, 2020 being the exception, thank you. But sometimes you find some additional votes, but really all you're doing is clarifying and certifying, all right? So there's not a likely going to be a huge change. And I'm questioning what's going to wind up happening, because right now they are less than a point apart. I mean, we're talking like 0.5 of a point apart. So then they'll have to also, I don't know about New Jersey law, I haven't studied it, but if it were Alabama, they'd be going to, you know, the absentee ballots and to the overseas military ballots and to, you know, just verifying what they've got in their hands. And so it's going to be interesting to see how New Jersey goes. Other story I told you about earlier. And I just love this, by the way. I love this a lot. So this story came off of Fox also. Minneapolis voters reject a measure to replace the police department. First of all, why was that even a ballot initiative? Well, because it's Minnesota. Okay. The measure asked the voters if they favored amending the city's charter to replace the Minneapolis Police Department with a Department of Public Safety. Now, keep in mind, it sounds sort of the same. Like, if you think about it, public safety is like state troopers in Alabama, right? Okay. Used to be called that. It's now it's ALEA. But what I'm saying is, the fact that you're replacing police with a Department of Public Safety indicates that it is a whole new animal. And it would have been. What they were looking at doing was instigating a changeover where they would have done away with police as a standalone initiative, and they would have put it in place as a Department of Public Safety with liberal policies and, you know, probably some type of, you know, counselors who would go out into nonviolent crimes, which, by the way, you ask any police officer, violent crimes or violent situations don't always occur before the police officer gets there. Sometimes they occur after they get there. Domestic calls are the worst. I used to go, as a state senator, I used to go out and serve warrants and do ride-alongs with my guys here in the area, especially if the drug task force was doing a roundup. I would go out and do roundups with those guys and spend, you know, half a night out with them and serving warrants. And the situations get dicier sometimes after the police are on the scene. So the idea that a guidance counselor is going to respond to a 911 call and they're going to make an assessment at 911. This one sounds nonviolent. We're going to send somebody out there to talk to you. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Well, it was bad enough to call 911. It might be bad enough that you don't want someone there who's an unarmed guidance counselor, all right? Well, Minneapolis voters went to the polls, and they rejected it out of hand. I mean hard. It failed. 57-44. 57-44. And by the way, 57-44 in political world, that's a wipeout. I mean, it doesn't sound okay. 5744. That's not super. That's bad. So it didn't even get close. And so what I'm looking at here is, and this is the story, I believe it was, that one of the things that needs to be taken into account too was this all stemmed out of the George Floyd incident. And you know, the calls for, you know, racial equity and you know, disparity and systemic racism and Black Lives Matter and all of that just mushroomed out of the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis. And yet, that's also the place where members of the Black community, leaders in the Black community, were the ones who helped vocalize and form the opposition to this measure to replace the police department. How's that for irony? I think it's beautiful. I think it's showing you that public safety is a bipartisan issue and that public safety crosses all sorts of lines. And oh, by the way, don't ever assume, for that matter, that someone's skin color makes them a Democrat or a progressive. It doesn't. I mean, look at Winsome Sears, the new lieutenant governor-elect in Virginia. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And so it was members of the Black community who rallied the opposition to that Minneapolis debacle and got them basically just put in their place, and now they're going to keep their police department. I hope they upfund it, for that matter. All right, Copper, let's go ahead and take that short break. When we get back from this break, folks, I'm going to wrap things up with you. You want to call in? We'll have a few minutes left. I'll be glad to take your call. I'm going to tell you, too, a little bit about this guy, this truck driver up in New Jersey who spent $150, and he may wind up unseating one of the longest-serving liberals in that Democrat stronghold. Oh, boy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just playing right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Back for the final few minutes of the show today. See, I got a caller on line three. Let me go get Steve from Tennessee. Hey, Steve, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind, man? How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I spoke to my U.S. congressman a couple of weeks ago. He's a medical doctor. And I asked him, I did not realize that the government was paying for all our shots until I went to get mine a while back, and they didn't ask for our Blue Cross. You know, I thought, well, I wonder. Paying for all of them. He told me that it was $30 to $40 a shot, what the government's paying, depending on the brand. Just do the math on that and think about all the ones we've given away to other countries. So there's an incentive for somebody to keep giving shots. That's all I had.
No kidding, man. That's a great call, by the way, and thank you, Steve. You always call in with some spot on remarks, so appreciate that very much. He's right. That's huge. The dollar signs are. Thanks for the call, Steve. The dollar signs are huge on this, and now they just approved them to move forward for your kids. So I mean, it's unreal the amount of money in there, and the government's paying for it. I guess the insurance companies are just in the clear on this. Why would that be? If you already have medical insurance, why is the government paying for the vaccine if the insurance companies typically already cover your medical necessities, which this would supposedly be? I could see them having a thing like waiving a deductible for insurance, which I thought was what was happening, but I guess not. That is interesting in a very fiscally irresponsible way. Thanks, Steve, for that call. Hey, so I want to go back to the story. I love this. This is awesome. I am rooting for a guy named Ed Durr right now. Edward Durr up in New Jersey. So Senator Steve Sweeney is the guy who has been serving the longest. He's the longest serving liberal Democrat in the Garden State's New Jersey legislature, right? And he's been up there forever. Well, there's a Republican guy named Edward Durr. Just a good salt of the earth dude. There's a picture of him on the story that I've got here up on Fox News. Top, if you go to foxnews.com, it's the top story right now. And so literally Ed Durr, it says, only spent $153 on his election campaign. Now, let me give you some perspective. All right. I served as a state senator for 8 years. I was elected and then reelected. In my second election, the teachers union hated me because I was constantly on their tail and helping to try and move education forward. And I supported school choice and those kind of things. So the teachers union came after me hard, funding my opponent, a Democrat, who I had already beat once before. And so in this particular case, they funded the opposition to my campaign to the tune of roughly $500,000. And then I, on the other hand, had one of the most expensive races in the state outside of the statewide races like Senate or for that matter, the governor's race, I mean. As a state senator, I raised and spent, I think somewhere, I'm going from memory here, somewhere in the neighborhood of like $770,000 myself, which means that my campaign for me to maintain my incumbent position was like $1.2 million for a four-county state Senate race. And this guy spent $150. And right now, my boy Ed Durr, the truck driver Republican up in New Jersey, is about to take out State Sweeney, we hope. I mean, Steve Sweeney. It says here, Durr, a truck driver by trade, is on the verge of a stunning upset over Sweeney, who is the longest-serving legislative leader in New Jersey history. Should Durr win, the upset would upend the Garden State Democratic Party leadership. And Durr says on his website, he says, I've lived here all my life. I've been a commercial truck driver the last 25 years. I consider myself to be blue collar. But Republicans are making some serious gains in that state as the race for the governor's mansion, you know, is still neck and neck right now. And that's huge. And I love the fact that just, you know, average Joe just goes and says, you know what, I'm doing this. $150. That's like three and a half tanks of gas. And I got news, he's a truck driver. I guarantee it costs more than that to fill his truck up. But an old boy is literally got this thing in a too close to call status. And that's awesome. And so hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to tell you what's going on with Ed Durr in New Jersey. But let that be, we need to have the Ed Durr Award, is my opinion. We got all these right side ruffians out there. Some of y'all are thinking about running. Well, folks, I'm telling you, this week they finished redrawing the lines. Word just came out, breaking news just a moment ago. The House has passed the redistricting bills, meaning that they are basically done. It should be going to the governor here very soon. The lines are drawn. Do you want to run? Now's the time. Ed Durr did it. $150, and he's got him on the run. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Right now, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We'll see you tomorrow.